Welcome to The Millennial Wave. This is Rachel Kayleen, entrepreneur and millennial leader. If you aren't familiar with The Millennial Wave, our mission is to be a voice for the millennial generation. So we're constantly collaborating with new guests to help give our audience the guidance and raw knowledge needed to spark ideas and accomplish their goals. Again, if you've been here before, welcome back. If you're new here, thank you for coming on. And if you do get value, all we ask is that you give us a rating and a review to be able to share with us how much you enjoy listening to this podcast. All right, guys, so let's hop into it. Hey guys, what's going on? This is the Millennial Wave. I'm Rachel Kayleen, and today this is episode 29 of the podcast. Super excited because finally we have a woman. I know you guys have been waiting. We've had man after man after man. Nothing wrong with it, but unfortunately we just haven't had a lot of women on the podcast. So really excited to have this beautiful woman. Her name is Megan Martinez. She's an entrepreneur. She's a fearless leader, boss babe. And something that I'm excited to talk about is that she is a college dropout. Now, I've known her for the last few years. I've been able to see her progress on her journey. It's been awesome to see, definitely another entrepreneur. And what I really want her to do before we jump into any questions or any type of topics is so that way you guys can have a little bit of background and see really what she's been up to and how much she's accomplished over these last few years. So Megan, go ahead and tell them a little bit about your story. I'm so excited.
Oh my goodness. It is so fun to be sitting here next to Rachel. I've known Rachel here for years. What's up, Millennial Wave? Thank you guys for joining the podcast. This is my first time on a podcast. So thank you so much, Rachel, for having me today. I'd like to first and foremost say, excuse me if I sound like a childish man. It was pretty exciting. This past weekend, we spent a whole week in Vegas for a huge company conference, and I, in turn, lost my voice. But getting into my story here, about like what Rachel said, I actually met Rachel my freshman or sophomore year in high school, actually. And it has been a crazy journey since then for the both of us. I can for sure say that, and she can agree with that as well. But transitioning into where I'm at today, I know that Rachel wants me to talk a little bit about my story. So in high school, I was very, very active. I was a cheerleader. I played golf. I was part of clubs. I would help lead clubs. I was a part of Associated Student Body, ASB, and leadership throughout the entire school experience since I was in school. In high school, I was class president all 4 years. And I was cheer captain, co-captain my junior year, and cheer captain my senior year. But throughout school, when I started to work, I worked. Like, I worked 3 jobs. My senior year of high school, I was working 3 jobs with my 2 big leadership roles at school, all the while living my life with my significant other, my family, my friends. People wondered how I did it, and I honestly don't know how. I think I didn't sleep. I honestly cannot even remember. But the opportunity of becoming an entrepreneur came across my table with my boyfriend at the time, and he was just like, babe, you have to come support me. And I'm like, dude, I'm still at work. It was 9 p.m. on some random day, and he was like, no, you don't understand. You have to come. This is perfect for you. And they like to say that opportunity comes knocking at your door once or twice in your life, and it's a matter of you deciding to take that knock or not, to open the door or not. And so I opened the door. I went in at 10:30 at night, and it changed my life. I was still in school. I got accepted to University of Nevada, Las Vegas. I was looking to study hospitality management with a concentration in event planning. And that was my priority. That's what I really wanted to do. But I am Filipino. And, Filipino moms, they, like, want you to become a nurse. Like, you got to become a nurse, a doctor, a lawyer. You have to get a good job. You have to do this for your family. And I'm like, man, I just want to plan events. And I want to cater to people. That's really what I love to do. Because in leadership, that's all you do. You plan events. You help people out of their comfort zones. You help them like break through barriers that they didn't believe they could break through. And so that's like really like leadership to me, was being able to do those things. And that's why I wanted to concentrate on event planning and hospitality management. But no, I had to go the nursing route. So I was actually supposed to go to California State East Bay in Hayward, California. And that didn't go through as well, because when this opportunity came around, I completely transitioned. I was like, screw nursing, screw event planning. I can help people and I can do exactly what I want to do all in this company.
Yeah.
And as you guys, some of you guys may know, the company that I work with is World Financial Group. And when I was transitioning, like I had mentioned, I had 5 big things going on in my life, and that was 2 leadership positions at school and 3 jobs. I was just telling Rachel, I was in management at Aldo Shoes, management at Jump Juice. Mm-hmm. I like to say that I was a smoothie engineer.
And then what they called you? That's what they, like, the boss would be like, we're a smoothie engineer.
Where's the smoothie boss?
Oh, my God.
They'll be like, Megan, how do you make this smoothie? I'm like, oh, of course you're going to ask the engineer. It's so funny. But even at work now, at World Financial Group, WFG, they'll be like, what was your background? They're always like, Megan, she was the smoothie engineer. I'm like, that's so funny that you guys coined this as a real thing. But anyways, yeah, so those are the things I was doing. And when the World Financial Group came around, I'm like, I'm going to put my flag here. And that's exactly what I did. My first month coming into that company, I was 18 years old. And I hit junior broker my first 23 days in the business.
Wow.
On average, I want to say that most individuals in our company, like company-wide, hit marketing director, junior broker in a matter of anywhere between 1 year to 4 years. There's some people who don't even hit it in 5, 6, 7, 8 years.
Yeah.
So that was a huge deal for me. And I think that was like where it really, I was like, man, if I was able to achieve this in less than 30 days, what can I achieve in 30 years?
Yeah.
And so that's when I completely made the transition.
Yeah. So one of the first things that I was going to ask you when you first came on, and I want to go back to what you just said too about 30 years. So before I do that, I want to know, you said that you dropped out of college. You enrolled in college and then you dropped out, or you just never went?
So I enrolled and then never showed up to orientation.
Never? You didn't even have your first day class?
So here's a timeline. February of 2015, I was a senior in high school, and that was the month that I came into WFG and hit marketing director.
Were you 18?
I was 18.
Wow.
So I was 18, senior in high school, about to graduate. I got promoted to junior broker with my company, and I was like, dude, what the heck am I going to do? And come graduation time, it was crazy because the school system kind of teaches you to be in school. The school system teaches you how to be an employee. The school system teaches you how to make a paycheck, but never what to do with the paycheck. So they were, like, for some reason, so upset with me for concentrating so much on WFG. A lot of my teachers knew, a lot of the principals and
school admin. How did they know?
Because I was very close to them because of leadership.
Oh, okay. So would you try to pitch them?
I did actually do.
Well, hey, that's the fucking point. Mm-hmm. That's the point.
You got to.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go talk to my 18-year-old friend.
It could be your diamond in the rough.
You never know. Exactly. Yeah. And a lot of those teachers needed it. Some of those teachers got laid off, and I, you know, I'm not going to say anything. But, you know, so I was just doing my thing, and some of them were very supportive. Some of them were completely the opposite.
Yeah.
And that's when they were like, you know what? You're setting a bad example. You're not taking care of your future, you're letting go of things, yada, yada, yada. And it came to a point where I graduated high school, but they didn't allow me to walk the stage. I had a teacher who...
What?
Mm-hmm. So I know not many people know that, right? That's pretty crazy, now that I think about it.
They didn't allow you to walk the stage? Mm-hmm. Why?
There was a lot of other things going on in my life, and I guess some of my teachers took advantage of it, and I had to, like, really push through to some of the people who actually were on my side about things. And I was able to graduate. I was always a good student. I was always
Drink that. we got the wine thirsty today, folks. We got the alcohol. This is not
5 o'clock almost.
Sponsored by a wine company. I don't even drink wine. This is actually pretty good.
Yeah, so that was a crazy story. But then it was the funniest thing because right after graduation, we had a big event in my office. And I crossed the stage so many times.
Wow.
And then we had a national convention, a national conference with my entire company. There's about 50,000 associates there. And I walked the big stage my first time ever. That's when I was like, man, who cares about that little graduation stage? I'm going to be walking the big boy stage for the rest of my life. And that's when I was like, yeah, I'm for sure planting my flag.
I love how you talk about that and how you look at it. Because I think that, like Jim Rohn says, the wind blows on us all, you know what I mean? But we all deal with things. We all have problems. We all have issues. We all have things that come into our life that really make us question what we're doing. But it's all about how you look at it. It's all about how you react.
Yeah,
right?
For
it's
sure.
Not about what happens. It's about how you react to it. So I think that's super important. And just the fact that you were so I'm not even gonna say optimistic. You were just so relentless, like, about your journey and making things happen and being able to cross the stage of life and success. Yeah. So I think that's really cool.
We have a saying in our firm that it's not even a saying just in our company, but it's a saying worldwide, especially in the Bible. I'm a woman of faith. What we like to say is we follow the five F's. Those five F's are faith, family, finance, fitness, and fun. Finance is just your career, whatever your career is. And obviously, like, faith comes first, because if you focus on your faith, everything else will fall into place as well. And so what they like to say is that every adversity has a seed of blessing in it if you look for it. Mm-hmm. And so all of those things people like to consider as adversity, it's a setback. But I truly believe that every setback is a huge setup for a huge comeback. And so I looked at every adversity that came across my way as I was making my journey through the transition from school to dropping out to becoming full-time WFG. And I looked at everything as, what is the seed of blessing in this scenario? And I kept finding it every time. It kept coming. So
what made you not want to go to school? Was it like, I know I'll create success in this, and I don't want to work in hospitality and event planning anymore, in that realm, in that sense, like, get a degree for it and go and work for someone? Mm-hmm. Or what was that whole mindset like when you made that decision? Was it hard?
That's a great question. The hardest part was not coming clean about it to my parents.
How long?
It took me almost, I want to say, 8 months.
They didn't realize?
I'm just a great liar. Totally kidding. I'm not a liar. That's just nothing. But
at least for that time being, you were kind of like setting it aside.
I felt like it was the best thing for me to do, is to create the success I needed to create for them to be more accepting of me not going to school before I told them.
Yeah.
And the reason why I let go of the big dream of being an event coordinator and event planner and being in hospitality management was truly because I can do it all in our company. Mm-hmm. We're huge on leaders building leaders, and the biggest thing to do with building leadership and building a team and environment of leadership is recognizing, I like to call them my squad, but recognizing your team for the hard work that they do. And all that comes into events. So we'll throw little things like family fun nights and Christmas parties and first quarter award ceremonies, second quarter this, end of the year award ceremonies, different things like that. And that's when I was like, oh my goodness, I can just event coordinate in my company. Mm-hmm. And we'll do grand openings and free financial seminars and all these other things. And I'm like, oh my God, I can literally do it all. I wanted to become a nurse because I wanted to be obviously very successful financially. And nurses in the Bay Area make a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, nursing's awesome. And secondly, I wanted to become a nurse was because I wanted to help a lot of people.
Yeah.
I wanted to help people, obviously in medicine, but just help save their lives and see the look on their family's face when we're able to say, hey, the surgery went well, and all those things. That's why I wanted to become a nurse, those two things. And then I realized I can still do those same things in this company because everyone deals with finance and everyone has financial cancer of some sort. Mm-hmm. They don't know how to save. They don't know how to invest. They don't know what they're retiring with. They don't know how to save for their kids' future, college planning, whatever the case is. And we have that solution, and we're able to help them with that and kind of like cure their financial cancer. So I was able to find everything I was passionate about and transition it all in WFG. That's why it wasn't a hard transition for me.
Okay. And you've been doing it since you were 18. How old are you now?
I am now 22.
Okay, so 4 years. So within 4 years, does it feel like it's been a long time? Or how's the journey been so far?
It's been a crazy journey because there's always something new. So when you take a look, I'm like, man, I look back and I'm like, it's been 4 years? No way. It has happened so fast. There's different phases and different stages that you go through. It's almost like a rubber band. And this is just entrepreneurship in general. It's like a rubber band of success. You come in and you're passionate and fearless and you're so excited. You're out there just relentless in your desire to win. Mm-hmm. And then doubt and fear comes in and haters and adversity. And then your rubber band shrinks back down. And then it expands again, and then you get re-inspired. Now you're back to inspiration and motivation and all this stuff. And so it's always an exciting journey overcoming the different stages, not just within myself, but within my teammates and within my significant other and within my family. Mm-hmm. I can say truly that a lot of times with my family, I approach scenarios very differently than I would have before. I always take a look at different scenarios, like what would old Megan do versus what would new Megan do? Mm-hmm. And it's kind of crazy to see, like, now my mom approaches scenarios differently too, and the different thought processes that go through, and stuff. It's really cool.
So one of the things that you said at the very beginning was, right when you hit the first position, it's not the first one, is it? No, you jumped a couple.
I skipped through three.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So right when that 23-day hit, like, oh, wow, I did this in 23 days, less than a month. I could only imagine what I could do in 30 years. I feel like if people hear that, they may get a little nervous because 30 years is a long time, right? And how did you have, and let's be real, people our age, especially people in their 20s.
Live for the weekend?
No.
Oh.
Well, that, but they can't see themselves thinking that far ahead. Mm-hmm. So how did you have that mindset, like, oh, I can only imagine what I can do in 30 years? I feel like that may deter people from even wanting to do something. Like, damn, 30 years? Well, I have to be able to make money now. I need to get out of this situation now. I want to have a good life now. How would you explain that to someone?
The reason why I say 30 years is because I have a huge vision. And one of our executives has this big mission on becoming a billionaire. And a lot of times you come across this 40-40-40 kind of scenario when you work 40 hours a day for 40 years of your life, only retiring on 40% of what you worked your whole life for. And I'm like, dude, I do not want that. And so when I say, if I was able to achieve this in less than 30 days, imagine what I can achieve in 30 years. I mean, imagine how big things can be in 30 years. And you also have to take a look at it on a shorter scale, because in 3 years I was able to, so in my first 30 days I was able to hit up my junior broker position, but my first year in my company as an 18, just turned 19 year old, I made about 60,000, and people our age don't typically do that.
Yeah.
I know we have other big people in the social media space. Mm-hmm. I think, I can't remember his name, but I know that there's a 19-year-old out there that makes like $3 million a year.
That's nuts.
And I'm just like, goodness, like, imagine that. Some people who are older than us, we're 22, 23 years old, can't even fathom making $1 million, and they're in their 30s and 40s. Yeah. They're just like, well, I'm going to be comfortable with what I have because I can't risk that.
Yeah.
So that's why when I say like 30 years from now, I can just imagine how many lives I could have changed by that time, and how many different people I've inspired along the way.
100%. Mm-hmm. And one of the cool things, though, is Ed Milet.
Oh, we love Ed.
People, I want to mention that because people that follow Ed Milet, who's really come on the scene in the last year, who is best friends with Andy Frisella, the founder of First Form, the MFCEO project. Ed Milet started in WFG, and I didn't know that until I actually heard more about a story. And he's still a part of WFG. Mm-hmm. He started when he was, what, 18, 19?
Yep, 18, 19.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
that's how he started. And there's not a lot of people on social media that came up in, like, the network marketing game or in, like, the industry of direct sales, or at least they don't mention it. You know, maybe they made their money elsewhere. But I think Ed Milet is a big – him and Alex Morton. Alex Morton's a little bit younger. He's also in financial services, but he's in, like, trading. And they both, like, made a killing in the industry and just in their niches alone. So I think it's really inspiring for people, especially the ones that are in the same field, that are able to see people like this, that have really made a name for themselves, not only in their industry, but in business and all over, you know, and they have connections with people that are absolutely crushing it. So Ed Milet is, like, one of the things that I wanted to point out, because I think that's inspiring. Because, you know, people have, like, certain...
Yeah.
Stereotypes about the industry, and mm-hmm. it is what it is. Like, people don't know what they don't know, and yeah. That's just how it is.
So it's crazy. Along the way, trust me when I say this, I have been told that what I do is a scam for years.
Yeah.
From multiple different people, family members, best friends, coworkers, and they kept telling me, why are you a part of that pyramid scheme? Why are you part of this scam? I'm like, oh my God, you are so illiterate. You are just not giving me the time of day to tell you that what we do is legitimate. And it was just a crazy thing. But, you know, at the end of the day, people's opinion of me and my business is none of my business.
Yeah.
Their opinions of me don't pay my bills, nor do they pay my lifestyle. And that's when I stopped being so defensive and just played more so on offense.
Yeah.
And that's when I just showed them and continued to work hard. And that's when they were like, oh man, you're still there? what's it like now? And then now I have some people who follow Ed Milet too. Mm-hmm. That used to tell me that this was a scam.
Yeah.
And I think Ed Milet was a huge advocate of really changing the name and game of World Financial Group. Mm-hmm. So some of you guys, especially entrepreneurs out there and business owners, might know of the book 177 Mental Toughness, Secrets of the World Class by Steve Siebold. Steve Siebold actually took time to write a book called The Truth About World Financial Group. Mm-hmm. And if you read it, it's literally Steve Siebold, world-renowned author, bestseller, and he can literally tell you all the different success stories and all the different scenarios that has happened within WFG and the impact it's made in the world. Like with Uber, they like to look at World Financial Group kind of like the Uber and Amazon of like distribution in the game. World Financial Group has become this revolutionizing company in the financial industry game. So like Uber has no taxis, no cars, stuff like that. The same thing as World Financial Group. We worked the distribution game and the networking game, and that's why our company is literally taking over financial services.
Yeah.
So, and Ed Milet has partnered up with people like Steve Siebold and Andy Frisella. Andy Frisella and Ed Milet actually have a group specifically for entrepreneurs and business owners who have this desire to get to the next level called Arete Syndicate. Mm-hmm. And it's a huge thing. A lot of our executives in our company have participated in it already, and they're super excited for the next round and the next class of Arete Syndicate. And it's pretty cool to see that he's made all of these connections. Like, if you guys follow Ed Milet, he is at EDMYLETT. Follow him. He has seriously collaborated with some of the world's greatest giants in different industries, in sports, and it's just been a crazy journey. I think he's actually the reason why Hall of Famer Marshall Faulk came into our company as well.
Really?
And he's working in our company.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. And another thing, I mean, number one is like credibility. What does it say? Documentation beats conversation.
Correct.
So like just her alone, like saying that, I mean, it just, you can look it up yourself. Like Ed Milet is legit. And I mean, I just think it's really cool when you have people that are big dogs like that representing something. And I think every big industry needs someone like that. You know, and they need that voice, they need that power to be able to kind of win the crowd. But anyway, so one of the other things that I was thinking about that you talked about, and this is something that I wrestled with for a really long time. I used to talk to a couple people that I was close with about it. You said, well, you going from working three jobs, being ASB president, being involved in literally everything, and still balancing your life, like doing it all, right? And still being able to get good grades, get into a good school, all of that. How can you go, and don't think of this like the wrong way, I'm just curious, how can you go from doing all that to going to one specific thing and focusing your whole attention on that specific thing for years and years and years without really letting up on the focus? And the thing is, it's not like, I mean, that's a good thing, right? If you want to get results, you need to focus. But how can you go from doing all these different things to only focusing on one thing that you believe will get you the results that you've always wanted? Does that make sense? Because at the end of the day, there's a lot of people like myself that are very multi-passionate and they want to do a lot of things. One thing that Gary Vee said was, well, shit, if I'm balancing 21 plates and 9 of them break, I still got 12.
I'm sorry.
He's like, I don't give a shit. I'm still winning. I got 12. I'm like, that makes sense. Like, he's multi-passionate. He's like on the stage. He's like, shit, I'm thinking of a business idea right now. And I'm not always doing that. But the thing is, I have a lot of passions and they aren't all in the same industry.
Yeah.
They aren't all on the same thing. So how can someone that's multi-passionate and doing all this stuff go to something so like one thing? Was it encouraged by your leaders, or was it your sole decision, and how did you come to that decision?
So the reason why I think, I guess you can say, I condensed a lot of my passions and my responsibilities into one was because our company is so multidimensional. You can turn, like, there's different components to our company. There's the client side, the building side, the recruiting side, the selling side. Then there's also the self-development side and all of those great things, right? But I didn't look at World Financial Group as a one-stop it is a one-stop shop, yes, it can be, but it's not my one soul only for life. It can be turned into a vehicle to achieve this. It can be turned into a vehicle to be able to do this. Like, for instance, I love to travel, and traveling is a huge thing for me, right? And I'm able to do that within World Financial Group because of flexibility of time. So if I was focusing on all these other things, I can't do that. If I was a nurse, I probably would have to request off, talk to my boss, do all these different things, save up for it, and, you know, all that. So with World Financial Group, it just opened up my eyes to be able to work for one thing temporarily to be able to achieve whatever else I want to achieve. Like, for instance, yeah. I was talking earlier, but right before we started this podcast, my significant other and one of our good buddies were thinking of starting a podcast. Mm-hmm. And I just think there's just different things that we can do. Like, I'm super into fitness. The past 12 months, I've dropped 45 pounds, which is super cool.
Yay, that's awesome.
Yeah, so it's just, I think it's what I'm able to do within WFG that makes me so excited. Like, I can still do the event planning stuff, which is one thing that I did before. I can still focus on fitness and inspiring others through fitness. And, yeah.
So What if someone doesn't have something like that? Like, someone doesn't have a company like that. They don't have, like, a mentor. They don't have leadership. They don't have anyone to show them the door and, like, you know, knock on it. Door of opportunity. But what if they don't have that? What if they are just kind of, like, stuck? Maybe they look at certain opportunities and they say, hey, this isn't for me. How does someone go about finding that one opportunity or that one thing that'll really set them on fire to be able to accomplish whatever they want? Because let's be real, how many times have we seen people do something and then quit because of the simple fact that, you know, it just either, you know, it isn't for them, they feel like they found something better, or they want to do something else. What would you say to someone like that? Like, someone that doesn't have that?
I mean, honestly, any one thing is not specifically catered to everybody. So even for me, I get rejection all the time as a business person, as an entrepreneur, as someone in sales even. We get rejection all the time. And so what I have found, however, is that although something might not be for everybody, there's always something out there for everybody.
Yeah.
It's a matter of them being able to take that leap of faith or being able to kind of dive into something to try it.
Yeah.
So a lot of times people, their fear of rejection or their fear of failure or their fear of success stops them from trying things to see if that's something that they can be passionate about.
What would you say the first step is to finding that? Do you think it's self-development? Do you think it's finding a mentor? Do you think it's going to networking events? What do you think is the very first step to someone
finding their passion?
And what would the first step to that be? Finding their passion, writing it down, writing out all the things that they like to do, deciding on one, what? I'm just curious.
I mean, this is a great question. It's very complex, sorry. For sure. No,
I don't want to. I'm putting the pressure on you.
I was going to say, I think for sure the biggest thing to do is to, one, the two things that you mentioned that are super huge is self-development and mentorship. Because a lot of times, if you haven't self-developed yourself enough to be able to receive and accept and be open and susceptible to mentorship, you might not even be able to find what you need to find even having a mentor. Mm-hmm. And your mentor might tell you to go do the exact same thing. Go self-develop first before you find anything else. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times people aren't comfortable within themselves. And then if you're not comfortable within yourself, how can you really find what you're passionate about? Mm-hmm. And so I think that's a big one, finding self-development. There's a book that I had read. It's called Purpose Driven Life. And although it is kind of centered towards faith, yes, mm-hmm. that book really, really helps you dive into finding your purpose in life. So sometimes people kind of just think like, oh, I'm supposed to work and then build a family, buy a house, and then retire. But really, is that really what you want in life? Is that what you're passionate about? Is that the purpose that you were born and on this earth to do? And I think it's a matter of finding that one purpose or those couple of purposes or whatever the case is to kind of branch off into finding what will help you achieve that purpose.
Yeah, and the thing is, you're right. A lot of people are stuck in that, what is, I want to say portal, but it's not a portal. It's like a web.
Like a spider web?
Like they're stuck in the status quo. They're stuck in, oh, go to school, get a good job, make a family, retire, go travel, like things like that. how many times have you seen people, even yourself, not saying that you did, but I know that you were going to go to school, you were going to go get a job, that's what you were planning on doing. How can you go from something like that and basically change it to the entrepreneur mindset? How many times have you seen that, and how does that transition happen?
Oh, it happens all the time. People come into businesses and quit all the time. I mean, for me, I think I made that transition because I found the desire to want more, and I found that there is a bigger purpose for me. Coming into this company, that's what it made me realize, is that I have a purpose to fulfill. And so that's what helped me stick around. I found my passion and purpose. But a lot of times people quit because they let the outside world, the outside noise kind of influence them to leave. They feel like they need a, it's kind of like your standard, like a thermostat. Your thermostat is set at this certain degree. And that's why I think self-development is so important, because if you haven't self-developed yourself to get to higher degrees, you are never gonna leave your comfort zone to achieve that.
Yeah.
So when you come into a business like this and everyone's telling you, I believe in you, you can do this, you can achieve your passion and purpose, and you're like, shoot, I don't even know my passion and purpose. Yeah. And then they go home and then their mom tells them, what the heck are you doing with your life? Like, what is this business? Just focus on school, you'll get a good job, and then you'll be fine. And then they're like, oh yeah, you're right. And then that's why, I think that's why I found a lot of times people quit. Or their wives don't really understand what the heck is going on.
There's a lot of reasons.
Yeah, so that's just what I found a lot, being in our age range.
Yeah, I said this the other day, and I know that I've heard it before, but it's like, sometimes people take longer than others to realize the greatness they have within them.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know it yet, and that's just what it is. Like, for example, when someone is dealing with something and they have bad habits, or they're getting in trouble, or they don't know any better, sometimes it'll take a dramatic life incident or life event to happen for them to really wake up and be like, listen, I need to do this, I need to do that, I'm gonna make a change. I've had those times multiple times, and I know a lot of other people have too. So why don't we go ahead and bring your significant other over. Woo! He didn't know he was. Hey, you're gonna be on the podcast real quick. You wanna introduce them? I know you know more.
Sure.
You know how to introduce them.
Come here, honey. Just kidding.
Thank you.
Should I pass this to him too?
No. You'll be fine. Just speak into the microphone nice and loud.
Okay.
But so tell us a little bit about your boyfriend, partner, significant other.
Partner.
Shit.
Rachel's so funny. My partner here next to me.
So you were prepared, right?
Was I?
You're prepared, right? To like introduce. No, you're not.
Okay.
You are, right? Because we talked about this. We talked about bringing him on.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay, good.
So I wanted to introduce my boyfriend here. Reason why is because I guess a little history is we've actually been very, very, very close friends for years prior to us actually becoming a partnership. But he has brought a lot of value to me, and I think that he has a lot of value that he can share with others. We like to say that there's an IQ that we have in our company, and he has a huge IQ in our business and in the business world in general. So I think he can for sure share a lot of insight. His background, actually, he studied business marketing at San Jose State University. He was in the Army. He's in the Air Force.
Currently?
Was.
Oh, okay.
Prior. So he was in the Air Force prior. So he has a background in that, and now he's a senior broker within our company. So we can for sure pick his brain on different scenarios.
Cool. That's awesome. I'm excited. Yeah, I didn't know too much until she finally, not finally, until she said it just now. So I'm excited. No. Okay. So how long have you been involved in entrepreneurship and business?
4 years.
Four years now. Oh, yeah. You guys came in at the same time?
I'm a little bit, a few months younger.
Oh, okay.
Even a little bit after me.
Oh, wow, that's exciting. So you guys met through entrepreneurship, business,
yes,
the company. Okay, cool. So what are some of the things that you really had to adapt to from, I know that you studied business and marketing in college, but going from the military to business, what are some of the different things that you really had to learn that you didn't know prior? And also, I'm kind of curious, what are some of the things that helped you from the military? Because
yeah,
I feel like discipline and things that, being on
all
time,
that
might have helped a little bit. But go ahead and share a little bit about your journey.
First of all, thank you for the introduction. That was kind words from you. But I would say the difference between where I came from, my background, to into entrepreneurship, mm-hmm, is a lot of when you were in the military, you're always told what to do. There's always someone above you that's directing you. There's always a path. And entrepreneurship is sometimes on your own, right? You're a business owner. You're in business for yourself. And you don't really have that person above you telling you what to do and all that. But that's something that we ask for as a business owner, like mm-hmm. as entrepreneurs. Like, we were never cut out to have somebody tell us what to do every mm-hmm. single time. And I would say that's the main difference. But I think the advantage that we do have is we are very, like you said, punctual, that we do understand the hard work, what it takes for you to win, and being in the military, that you did have to put a lot more than a regular person. And I think we took that same mentality, like that relentless to business, and maybe that's why we were able to get to where we're at.
And what made you realize that entrepreneurship was like your route, that business was the
yeah. I mean, growing up, I always knew there's more for me. I always knew that I wanted to be somebody. I always saw myself either owning my own business, being a CEO of a company. I just had that drive in me growing up, and that's like coming into business, that's something that I was looking for since I was little.
Yeah.
Right.
That's incredible. No, I think that's special because, I mean, I feel like anyone who feels the same way, like even myself, I know that when I was younger and even now, I'm like, I know I'm going to be somebody. I know
right.
I'm going to be that person. And you always think about it when you're younger. And I think everybody has that, but mm-hmm. not enough people share it. You know, some people just kind of are like passive. Oh, how are you? Oh, I'm good.
I do agree with
you. How are you really? Like, talk to me about you, yeah. you know? And that's why I love having people on the podcast, because at the end of the day, people need this. Like, mm-hmm. I was never exposed, and you guys can definitely tell me if you were or you weren't, but I was never exposed to people that were like really killing it, like that not just had money but had fulfillment, you know? And they were never the ones that are like, oh, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna be this, I wanna do that. I never really had that influence. So being able to come into the world of business and entrepreneurship, just knowing that you do have that opportunity, you have so many like-minded people. It's almost like when you go out to the real world mm-hmm. and you finish up with a meeting, or you finish a podcast and you go and you see somebody in the store and they look fucking miserable. Or like, you know, you're just like, what is going on? Like, oh my God, I need to go back to that meeting. But no, I love having people like this on the podcast. So, I mean, I'm thankful that you were able to be on. And I want to know, do you have any questions for him before we close out or anything? Anything that you want to say? Anything? Okay. Well, my question for you guys is, I want to start asking this at the end of every single episode. I wanted to the last time I shot like the episodes, but I forgot. I want to know, is there any opportunity, I'm going to ask this to every guest, is there any opportunity for people to work with you, or any type of people to be able to collaborate, or if they want to reach out for mentorship or leadership, mm-hmm. whatever the case may be, how can they reach out if there is an opportunity and get a hold of you guys? Like Instagrams, Facebook,
email. I would say for sure, always, 100%, there's always an opportunity to work with anyone and everyone. I'm always open to it. We're always expanding in our company, but also, I mean, we have so much insight on not just finance, but business as well. And so should you need anything, my Instagram handle is @MartinezMegan. Martinez spelled MartinezMegan, Megan, MEGAN. And I guess, that'd be weird. I would not probably put my phone number out there, right? You can DM me on Instagram.
Yeah.
That's all good.
She'll reply.
I will reply. Rachel knows. Yeah, but you can reach out to us for sure on there. My link to my official company website is on there as well. And you can reach out to me that way too.
Cool.
Yeah, I always say that collaboration is a big deal, networking. The more you know, the more you know, the more things that you can share to people. Mm-hmm. And I've always wanted to be a part of a circle where they come from different types of background, whether it's real estate, car sales, any type of sales background. Mm-hmm. And I just want to be a part of a group when you're waking up, people are closing $1 million deals, mm-hmm. making $1 million in commissions. And you're like, man, I got to get my butt to work because these people are killing it. I got to kill it like them. Those type of people I would like to be around. And so my handle for Instagram is ArgelLuiz, ArgelLuiz. Right. Cool. So if you're that type of person, let me know, DM me, and then we can work together.
Love it.
Right.
Thank you guys so much for being on the podcast.
This Thank you so much for having us.
You guys are awesome.
You guys are awesome, Rachel.
Thank you guys for listening and watching. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast, leave a rating and review, comment, whatever you want to do. And of course, make sure that you reach out to these beautiful people. I was going to say guys, but I know you're not a guy. But you know you guys. Anyway, make sure you guys reach out to them if you need or have any questions. And of course, thank you again for tuning in.